You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, hour number two of the show. And we're going to kick it off with the four-man booth because the kid is in the house for the Friday forecast,
the kid,
which is brought to you, of course, by our good friends at Selective Insurance. Selective, for your home, auto, business, and flood insurance needs, find an agent near you at selective.com. The kid, welcome in studio, bro.
Thank you. I got a little funny
like Elvis right there.
Thank you very much.
I did just read an article talking about how Johnny was like Elvis in college, so maybe that's where it came from. I do have a funny story I'd like to share. Yesterday I was down in southern Ohio, and I was at a construction site, finishing a phone call, and I see the guy I'm meeting with go into the porta potty. Goes into the porta potty, and I'm thinking, there's no bathroom in there. And I'm not a germ freak or anything, but he's coming out of one of the most disgusting places in the world, and I'm going to have to shake his hand. So quickly, I take my Michigan education. I think, what do? I put on this glove here.
And you brought it.
And I brought it as a prop. If Andy would get a camera in here, everybody could see, but since you'll just have to take my word for it. I put on the glove. I walk, and mind you, the meeting is inside. I go to shake his hand with the glove on. After I shake his hand, I take off the glove. Do you think that the guy was insulted by that?
No.
I mean, he shouldn't be, right?
No,
I mean,
not at all.
No, but now that I know that.
But
Nathan,
did he realize it? Did he call you on it?
Nathan's conscious of germs, too. You better get that glove away from Nathan because he's conscious of germs. Get it away.
I Purelled it. Believe me, I don't want the wrath of Mrs. Zagura taking germs into their household.
No, certainly not. No, I think that was a good move by you, the kid. I think it was smart. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if he was offended, because you're right, there's no sink in there.
I think he's going to say he's going to wipe his mouth, or he like walked out and he immediately sneezed into his hand.
Well, did he go? Well, it's not even about sneezing into his hand, right? Because there's no sink in there. That's the point he's making.
That's my point. He's sneezing into his.
But he's going into the porta potty.
Yes.
Which is disgusting to begin with.
Correct.
It's a cesspool of germs.
Yes, it is.
He slapped the guy across the face with that leather glove and said, don't you ever do that again.
That's what you should have done. You should have slapped him and walked out if the negotiations went south. All right. We're going to do I like that.
I got one more thing.
Go ahead.
I now have to put the same glove on because I brought Matt Wilhelm a present that I cannot touch with my bare hands either.
Oh, my God.
And I'll give you all a guess right there, knowing that the kid's a Michigan man. For Matt Wilhelm, he has brought a bucket, appears some type of red Buckeyes t-shirt was just flung across the studio here. It says, go Buck.
Yes!
Oh, my God. College football playoff shirt. That had to hurt.
It hurt me very badly. But
I appreciate it so
my
much.
My respect for Mr. Wilhelm. Joe, I would have got you one, but your team stinks just as bad as mine.
We've got issues. We got more issues than just football, kid.
The kid, I owe you one, man. Christmas is around the corner.
That's actually nice. College football playoffs.
It's got the playoff on there.
Nice. Legit.
Listen, the Emory football team still has not been defeated, so I got that going for me.
Is double XL the right size?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Hey,
thank you.
Hey, Matt, he brought the receipt, too, so it's not really a gift. You
got to
give him.
Yes. It was the wrong size.
That was very thoughtful.
Very
of you,
thoughtful.
That's a that's big. Is that does that give you hope though for like world peace if a Michigan man can walk in here and give a college football playoff t-shirt to an Ohio State man like yourself?
Not so much for world peace, but to be very frank and honest, it is in good fun the candor that we create from Ohio State and Michigan. But again, as I've told you, they were my number two choice. And in some cases, I could have been a Wolverine, but because of the result of making a proper decision, I am not. And I am now actually able to walk around with my head held high with a national championship back in the state of Ohio.
And a second-rate education.
Sure. But that's all you need when you're a professional athlete.
Going to classes is pointless.
That's fine. That's right. That's what they say at Ohio State.
Cardale
that's
Jones.
Right. That's right. That's the quarterback of the Ohio State Buckeyes in the playoff. Whoa, what a moment here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's bringing our producer, Dave DiNatale, in for a little Friday forecast.
I pulled the switcheroo on
the
you,
The switcheroo,
fellas.
You're
yeah,
back,
no, Dino,
Emmett.
I'm back.
Emmett, welcome back.
Welcome. Well, I appreciate it, guys. I couldn't miss.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Couldn't miss Friday forecast. So first up, outside of Johnny Manziel, who's your biggest key to the Browns winning on Sunday?
Offensive execution. The last couple weeks, it hasn't just been Brian Hoyer. The whole offense has just been missing a beat. And I believe Johnny will bring accountability to the offense all around, excitement to the offense. But everybody has to execute their plan. No more false starts. No more holding penalties. Everybody do their job.
I'm going in the defensive side of the ball, and I want to see Joe Haden play Joe Haden football. I think if Joe Haden is able to come down and take off one half of that field with A.J. Green, I think that the Browns have a really, really good shot at winning this game.
Nathan, I might be stealing yours, but I'm going to go with Justin Gilbert for that reason, because Buster Screen, as we heard from Coach Pettine, will be moved inside in nickel situations. And so you might see Justin Gilbert on Mohamed Sanu, and his ability to stop him and play well and not play like the rookie he has all season long will be to our benefit.
I'm going to go and stay on the offensive side of the ball, and I think it's going to be Terrence West and the Crow, caw-caw, running the football. If the Browns can run the football, they can win this game on Sunday, because when you run the football effectively, you shorten the game, you keep them off the field, and we already know the Bengals running is key to their success. 7-0-1 when they run for 100 yards or more, 1-4 when they don't. So the Browns need to run the football effectively, stop them from running, and they will win this game on Sunday.
Up next on the Friday Forecast, what player on the Bengals scares you the most?
A.J. Green. Quite simply, he's the one player on their team. Take the top off the defense, can beat you in so many different ways. He's the guy we got to stop. To parrot Joe's point, Joe Haden has got to step up this week.
I'm going with Andy Dalton right now, because the last game that they played, he wasn't very good. And I think if you're any type of professional, if you've got a little bit of pride, you're going to come back and try to outdo what you did the last time. And he didn't do much last time. So I look for Andy Dalton to kind of be the player that scares me the most right now.
My player that scares me is Jeremy Hill. He's a baller. 4.8 yards per rush. He has filled in very well for Giovanni Bernard. And he is the key. If they can run the football, as Nathan has stated earlier, their success in running the football and the way in which they lose when they do not. So he will be a key factor and someone I'll be watching.
What do you guys think of the comments that he made when he said, I thought the Browns were bad, but now they looked worse. And that was on a night that the Browns trounced them 24-3. How does that carry over? You're a linebacker for the Browns. You hear this guy say that. Do you expect somebody to get in his face? Do you expect there to be maybe a little bit of an altercation, some chippiness?
I don't. Because the
players have mentioned it now. Multiple guys this week have mentioned
they
it.
They have. Like, okay, yeah.
We'll see.
It is something that the same way that the Bengals may be headhunting for Johnny and doing the money sign, you may see a little extra effort by guys in and around the pile when he has the football.
I'd like to say that it goes along to what Josh Cribbs did last week, talking about jumping in a dog pound. It's easier to keep your mouth quiet and just play. But I think the Browns come out with a little bit of an edge, because there's been some things said about the Browns and Johnny Manziel. I think they do kind of bring it on the field and they let their play show, but I think the Browns are smart enough to know now that they'll just let their play do the talking.
Yeah, there's no question. They've given them plenty of motivation. The remark from Marvin Lewis, plenty of bulletin board material. Jeremy Hill saying, you know, when he was asked if the Browns were better than anticipated, this is what he said. Oh, no, not at all. They're probably worse than I thought, to be honest with you. Craig Robertson, I love his comment. He said, we're going to use those as fuel to the fire. We're going to come out and play big game. And he said, I have no idea why he said that. We have the same agent. My agent was at a loss for words. So I like that. And, of course, what I also liked, Desmond Bryant saying, well, now he's written the check. Let's see if he can cash it when he comes out here. I think it's going to be good. They're worried about stopping the Browns' offense. That's good. And, of course, Dante Whitner called the comments ignorant, which I think is always good. He said, I'm pretty sure somebody's going to meet up with him on the football field, and we'll see how that goes. When asked if that somebody could be wearing number 31, Mr. Hittner replied, hopefully. I think that's good. So we could see some fireworks there. So for me, who's the player that scares me the most, as you said, on the Cincinnati Bengals? That was back to the Friday Forecast question. We had a lot of good answers offensively here. I'm going to go defensively, Geno Atkins, because if you can disrupt the line and dominate at the point of attack up the middle, where Ryan Seymour will be making only his second start for the Browns, that can really disrupt things. That's the quickest path to the quarterback right up the middle. So Geno Atkins makes me a little bit nervous. If he can do some things and wreak some havoc on the interior of that D-line, he has been playing better, so we'll see if he's able to do that against the Browns. So he scares me, because when the Browns have faced somebody dominant and disruptive up front, it's given their offense a lot of problems. Now, I think Johnny Manziel is also part of the solution to that problem, but I want to be a little bit different, so I'll go with Geno Atkins.
All right, guys. Dallas, Seattle, Detroit. Which team does not make the playoffs in the NFC?
This is a really tough question, a good one, Emmett. I'm going to have to go with Dallas, simply because I'm a Chip Kelly apologist, and I believe they lose this week. And I think that makes it real difficult for them to get in. But that's really a great dogfight in the NFC for that last playoff spot.
I'd like to see, Seattle. I'd like to see Dallas, because Jason Garrett's my buddy. So I guess Seattle, just kind of sticking with the win the Super Bowl and don't make it back the following year. I'll just guess Seattle for the sake of the show.
I'm going to go with Dallas. I think Detroit could also be outside, left outside looking in. But I think Dallas for right now, they will again at Philly. Even though Dallas is 6-0 right now on the road and only 3-3, I believe, at home. So they play well on the road, but I still think Philly and that high-flying offense will, again, put on a show.
I'm going to go just to keep it different. I'm going to go Detroit. I think it could come down to them to that final game at Green Bay, and I don't think they're beating the Green Bay Packers. So I'm going to go Detroit on the outside looking in. I think Dallas is going to beat Philadelphia. I don't know if that's a popular opinion. I know the kid doesn't like that, but I think Dallas could beat Philadelphia.
They can.
I like it.
But will they?
I will give you a stat that backs that up a little bit. In the last, I think it's 21 times Philly and Dallas have played, the underdog is 17-4. That's against the spread, but with it being a small point spread, I wouldn't be shocked if Dallas pulled that out.
And they're undefeated on the road, by the way, this year in the National Football League. All right, number four on the Friday forecast.
All right, guys, who do you think will win the NFC South?
I'm going to say the Hotlanta Falcons. It's a terrible division, but I think they got their mojo back even in a loss on Monday night. So I'm looking for Hotlanta to take the division.
I'm looking at Atlanta, too, and especially with the injury they had down there in Carolina this past week. I'd have to say Atlanta's the team. They've been playing a little bit better football here recently, so I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons.
I concur. I'll go three in a row. Falcons. I think Julio Jones is chasing Megatron's receiving record, and I just don't think Drew Brees. I think he's fallen off his the perch as a elite level quarterback, and he's not able to carry that team the way they has in the past.
They struggled defensively as well. It's interesting because I think it is going to come, in my opinion, it's going to come ultimately down to the Saints-Falcons in Week 16. That's going to be the game that determines it. The Falcons have to get past Pittsburgh this week to win it, I think. They're going to beat Carolina at the end, but I think that this is a tough one for them because Julio Jones didn't practice again today, and I want the Falcons to win. So I'm going to say the Falcons because I want them to beat Pittsburgh for the Cleveland Browns, but I think the Saints right now like where they're at in terms of lurking, nobody giving them any respect. I think they have an opportunity to surprise some people even after that horrific performance against the Carolina Panthers. All right, Friday forecast. Final question, although we're going to throw in a few extras of our own.
All right, finally, who wins the Heisman Trophy on Saturday
night? Well, who wins, I think, is a foregone conclusion, and that's Mariota. But who I think should win is Gordon. I mean, the running that he's done with one of the worst college quarterbacks in history of college football to run for 2,300 yards and still have an outside shot at the all-time record, he would be my winner if I had a vote.
I'd go with Mariota, too. I think there's no questions. I think it's kind of a done deal. What you've been able to see that guy do on Saturdays just seems to be a little bit different than what we've seen from the other people.
I agree. I'm going to go with Mariota, even though I don't think his game transfers all that well into the NFL. I would love to see Gordon win it, simply representing the Big Ten, and also, too, just makes the defensive effort in the Big Ten championship game that much more impressive.
I think Mariota is going to win it, but I think if you're talking about the best pros, I think the best pros are going to be Cooper and Gordon. Now, Gordon plays a position that's been marginalized in the NFL at running back, but I think he's got Jamaal Charles qualities to his game. And as you said, he just needs 293 yards to set the record, single season record, to beat Barry Sanders. So I know that sounds like a lot. Oh, he only needs 293. Well, the bottom line is the guy ran for 408 yards against Nebraska, setting at the time the football subdivision rushing record for a single game. 179.7 yards per game. I think he's going to be special. I think Cooper's great, setting SEC records in a very tough conference. He's going to go in the top 10 in the NFL draft. Mariota will as well, but I'm not as sure about him, and I'm not sure that he throws all the pro routes. I don't know how he's going to adjust to that game, but I do think he will win the Heisman just because of how effective he's been as a college quarterback, and it's a quarterback league. All right, here's one that we're throwing in, a bonus Friday forecast question. You're Kyle Shanahan. What do you call for Johnny Manziel's first offensive play?
What I call is a fake into the line, Johnny rolling out with a run pass option with Flash going deep, and hopefully Flash will bring his full effort because, I'm just going to say I didn't think his effort was what it needed to be last week. Hopefully he brings it this week. He's going for a bomb, and Johnny could either throw a bomb or run for 30, 40 yards on the first play.
I'm going with a triple reverse quarterback pass or the Statue of Liberty, old school play, Statue of Liberty. I don't know. I think they're going to keep John. I think they're going to kind of walk him right into this thing. I maybe some type of off the edge run. I don't think they're going to do anything quite crazy right off the bat. They're going to let Johnny get his feet wet, get that first snap, and go from there. But
how quickly before you go deep?
Second play. Just let him get his hands on the ball under center, and then let him loose.
I concur with the action that the kid talked about. You know, fake the handoff, get it. You know, dash him to the edge. But I don't necessarily. I think it has to be. I like to give him a levels route. Get a guy into the flat. Get someone in around 10, and maybe that deep seven route around 15 to 18 yards, and give him an easy confidence building throw. Get the crowd into it. Get it excited. But also too, that being said, just it's a levels throw, but that doesn't mean that he can pull it down and run it.
If I could have one more here, going to Matt's point, something that could happen is that little one quick step that they throw to Josh Gordon a lot.
The backside slant?
Just a little screen to the receiver. If you could maybe do that, and if the cornerbacks are playing off of him, just to get Johnny a little momentum and let Josh catch the ball and get upfield, use his size, that could be something.
I'd love to see him go deep. I mean, I feel like we're going to something that is going to be fun.
And what if he hits on that?
It would be. I mean, could you imagine?
I mean,
but that being said, though, that
I'd run down
us taking the ball first.
At.
Us taking the ball first and going deep on the first play would coincide together. So if that's the mentality we're going to take, if we're going to take the ball, you throw deep. But if we defer, Johnny's first play is not going to be a deep pass.
This is what I want the first play to be. I want the first play to gain whatever it is to gain 9 yards. So you're in second and one, and then I want hook, chuck, football, Johnny football, just air it out down the field. I mean, they've got to have some stuff dialed up to get it down the field because that's what he does so well.
Do you think they scripted his first 10 plays to help him build confidence?
Yeah, I think they do.
15. I think Shanahan has been up all week like a kid in a candy store. He's probably got 100 plays scripted. I mean, coordinating for Brian Hoyer, I'll put it as politically correct as I can, it's got to be pretty boring. I mean, he's a very limited quarterback. Johnny, there's so many options available to you. He's just got to have so many things on the tip of his tongue. He's got to be careful to not get too excited and try to make it too complex. And I like your idea of the levels throw because, give Johnny some confidence. This is a guy that thrives on confidence. But, Hollywood and real life sometimes come together, and I think it's coming together this week. There's going to be something special that happens.
But it doesn't have to be the first play of the game.
Wait a minute. How about this one? What if Brian Hoyer comes into game? They said Manziel's starting, and maybe he does, but he does that thing like, Coach, I've got the jitters. I don't know the first play of the game, and he's standing on the sideline. And then Hoyer
throws
the ball, and Hoyer drills him for 60-yard touchdown on the first play of the game.
Hoyer hasn't hit a 60-yard pass all year.
The wind got a hold of him.
That one came out clean. All right. When we come back, we will hear from the man of the hour, Johnny Manziel, at a press conference after practice today. We're going to bring that to you. Just a quick few minutes, and then we'll continue to take your phone calls, allow you to call your shots, because we still have to call our shots. The kid hasn't got his shot in. We'll call those as well. 2:30, Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com will be with us to give us the Cincy perspective on this Sunday's game. Zagura, Keon, Wilhelm, Juravicius, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.